Thank you for listening to a message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. The following sermon was recorded during our Sunday morning worship service. The notes for this sermon are available on our website at www.manhattanchurch.org/sermonnotes. We hope that this message will be helpful to you and encourage you to explore the Word of God. And now, this week's message.
Good morning. I'll be reading Proverbs 1, 1 through 4. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young.
Good morning. I'm going to be reading Proverbs 1, 5 through 7. Let the wise listen and add their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Thank you so much, Zeke and Joshua. Appreciate it. You can go sit down now. I don't need. Thank you. And just so sorry, we really have Jacob and Malik are upstairs, are up in the sound room up there, and they're doing an amazing job. Jacob, I have a script up there, and you can follow along. And anywhere in red, that's the slide that I'd like to put up. And I think I'm going to skip the video that I included in there, but I might not. I'll let you know as we go. I want to thank Matthew and Bethany Vaughn and Rachel for going to the youth retreat last weekend. By the looks of the video, that was just Saturday, by the way, because we got there late Friday night and left Sunday morning. So we packed it in. We had a lot of fun. I had a good time. And thank you, Grandpa, for your communion meditation. It was wonderful. You know, the other thing I remember about that trip is we only had two tapes. One was a W.C. Fields radio tape where I learned as a 12-year-old how he liked children. Well done with a side of tomatoes. That's how W.C. Fields, if you don't know that. And then a New Edition, like the band New Edition. So my grandfather and grandmother listened to New Edition over and over and over and over again. And I think that's what made him so agitated about the sticks and the fire, actually. Good morning. Thank you for being here. Welcome to our visitors, and we are so thankful that you've chosen to worship with us this morning, and I always value the opportunity to get to speak with you. This is the third Father's Day that I've gotten to speak in the most recent years, and it's just a joy. And I want to say it is my sincere hope that your Father's Day conjures up only the best of memories. And that you had a wonderful relationship with the father, your father, or your father figure, or whoever it was that really helped shape and guide and mold you the way fathers should. And one of the most powerful things to have is a father who is patient and kind, interested, present, and loving. And I've been blessed to have a father who does that for me, and as you can see, a grandfather, and several other mentors and men in my life who have been just great. My father-in-law is here today, so I'm really glad for him to be here. But I know that's not the case for everybody. Father's Day can also be a painful day. There are some who do not have good memories or a relationship with their father. There are some who don't have any memories at all, who don't even know who their father is. And this reality can make a day like today difficult, and so I want to thank you for having the courage to show up here this morning. It makes all the difference to have a father who is interested in you. The pain that is perpetrated by men or father figures into the lives of people can be overwhelming, either by absence or coldness or abuse. It just makes it all important, much more important for the men of this congregation to be men of love and of joy and of peace and of patience and of kindness and of goodness and of faithfulness and self-control. And there are so many men in this congregation who are like that. And so before we get started into the text this morning, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So this morning, you can open your Bibles or the Pew Bible or open it up in your app. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. You can open up to Proverbs chapter 1. And we are going to like a brief look at Proverbs. And I chose this because I hope to encourage you to revisit this book. It had been a while since I had opened Proverbs. I see Paul over there. He reads Proverbs, a chapter every day corresponding with the month, with the day of the month. So today is the 19th, so you are 18th. And so he read Proverbs 18 at some point today. And that's something that, how long have you been doing that, Paul? So 10 years. Since 1979. Paul has been doing that, reading every day. And that's it's a great place to start. So whatever the day of the month it is, open that Proverbs and just read. But I had been a while since I've come to Proverbs, so I went back to it. And I can think of no better topic for us to explore, however briefly this morning, than the topic of wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. And wisdom is a tricky thing. It's a tricky thing because it doesn't play by the same rules as the other personal characteristics we're accustomed to when we strive for things. And what I mean by that is that just because a person is super smart doesn't mean they are going to be wise. Just because a person rises to incredible heights of creativity or wealth or fame or power, it's not to say that they've gained wisdom on their ascent to greatness. We see this absence of wisdom played out all the time, and there are examples after examples of accomplished people, respected people, people with all kinds of, it seems like everything going for them, and then they do something so foolish, and you're like, whoa. Why, with all that you have, would you put it all at risk by saying that or posting that or I don't know, giving that interview or whatever it might be? And of course, the rich and famous and powerful don't have a monopoly on being foolish. Sometimes the biggest fool we see on a particular day is the one that looks right at us in the mirror. And we've all been there. And if you haven't been there, well, maybe that's... everyone's there. Let me just put it that way, okay? Maybe that's the start where you need to start. Over the last few months, I've had the pleasure of listening to Rob Bell. He does a podcast, and he did this multi-part series on wisdom, and there's this quote from what he said. He said, when in ancient wisdom tradition they talk about wisdom, they weren't talking about smart people who got good SAT scores. They are talking about aligning yourself at the deepest level of your being with something that has been present in creation the whole time. And it was those words that I had never really thought about that really captured me and kind of led me on this journey with Proverbs, and we've talked about it in youth church, and we did some on the retreat. And so as we turn to the book of Proverbs, I've spent a lot of time reflecting on what it means to really have wisdom, and not just wisdom as in making the right decisions, but wisdom that comes from God. Now, for time, I'm not going to show this video, but there's a great, I'll send it out in the e-bulletin to follow it up. But wisdom from God is something different. It's an essence of God. It's not even a teaching. It is the very presence of God woven in the world. And if we look at, it's wisdom that's open and accessible to everyone. It's not hidden away. You know, when I told my grandfather that I was going to preach on wisdom, he said, you know the difference between knowledge and wisdom, right? And, of course, I said no, because And he said, well, knowledge will tell you that a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom keeps you from putting it in a fruit salad. I was like, there are things woven in the world that are just wisdom from God, and probably that might be one of them, but if we go deeper, There's this idea that wisdom born out of culture, like, you know, you wouldn't put tomato in a fruit salad, or traditions, that's one kind of wisdom. And there's also the kind of wisdom in which people do things to, like, when they learn from a mistake, that's a different kind of wisdom. I call it skateboard wisdom. I bought Levi a skateboard, and I thought it was really awesome, and so I thought I would get a skateboard. And one day I was going to the store, and yes, my wife let me go outside with a helmet on, shorts, dad socks, and a skateboard in the neighborhood. And I was skateboarding along, and I had what I was coming home from the store with, and I was feeling so hipster cool. It was amazing. And as I'm skateboarding around, and you know those little cracks in the New York City sidewalks? Boom, skateboard stayed back here, and I went that way. This is Zeke's skateboard now. This is not my skateboard. And what flashed in my head was laying in the hospital, surrounded by Brandon Baker, Matt Hinniger, Kenny Eicher, and Mike laughing, saying, "You were skateboarding?" I learned from this mistake, that was almost terrible, that it's not a good idea for me to skateboard in the city. That was a kind of wisdom. But the wisdom that we're talking about with God is something different. It's something that emanates from God, and it's this Hebrew word, if you can put that up there, Jacob. It's this Hebrew word, chokmah. That's the Hebrew word right there. And what's interesting about this word is that it's the feminine word of wisdom. And we know that men and women are created in the image of God. And this wisdom, as we discover this chokmah, the divine wisdom of God, it's something that we can't earn, we can't study our way to, we can't work or power our way into. And so how do we get this wisdom from God? How do we stay in tune with it? And it starts in a really kind of an odd place because it begins with fear. The beginning section of Proverbs, chapters 1 through 9, emphasize how important fearing God is to gaining wisdom. The two go hand in hand, but fear is so hard for us to deal with. From the earliest age, we work on not being constrained by our fears. When I was talking about this in youth church, what it means to fear God and how we don't like to be afraid, one of the things we kind of talked about is that first time you go on a overnight, but you're really scared of the dark, you know? But you're going to sleep someone else's house, and they want to act like that they're not scared of the dark. So they're like, "No, I don't need a nightlight, you know? It's all cool." All of our teenagers are afraid of the dark, by the way, because as soon as it gets dark at Shiloh, all their phone flashlights, it was just like watching fireflies go around. Some of you might be still afraid of the dark. And being afraid is hard. Personally, I'm afraid of flying. I don't like it. I don't believe in it scientifically. I think from my point of view, every time we land, I think, wow. I mean, I seriously just cheated death, like ultimate death right there. And this is embarrassing because I count it almost like a spiritual weakness. And one time about 15 years ago, I was talking to Tom about something else, and the fear of flying came up, and he said this thing, "Why are you afraid? What's the worst that could happen?" And I just stared at him. Having this theological crisis. I can't tell the senior minister of the church that I'd already worked at 10 years, well, I might die, because I knew he was teeing me up to go, "And then what? Be with the Lord?" You know, so I was just like, I don't know. And I just walked away. In our world, fear is a sign of weakness. But when we fear God, it is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign that we understand reality. It's a sign that we have seen beyond our selfish hearts and acknowledge, even in a brief moment, the transcendent, omnipresent, eternal Creator God, who is not hidden, but is made known to any who will look beyond themselves. It is understandable that our tendency is to hide our fear. When we show or express fear, we open ourselves up to be taken advantage of by other people. But it is so telling to see what God does with our fear, with our reverence. What does God do with our fear and reverence? God gives knowledge and wisdom. God gives a gift in exchange for our fear. The gift of chokmah, wisdom. God not only gives to us in our fear, but God also with us in our other kind of fear as well. He is there. In Proverbs 3, 25 and 26, "Have no fear of sudden disaster, of airplane crashes and the like, or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared." Now, all throughout the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, you have this voice pleading for people to seek wisdom. The voice goes to great lengths to explain that the wisdom which calls out at the city gate emanates from the very essence, the very being of the Lord. Look at this passage in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. Jacob, you can put that up. "The Lord brought me wisdom forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. this blew my mind. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning when the world came to be, when there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled into place, before the hills, I was given birth. I was there when he set the heavens in place and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. And this is the second part I want to leave you with this morning. There's so much more we could cover, but remember, my hope is that you will start a dialogue with Proverbs in here. That today is the 18th, you can jump in there, but you can also go back to the first of the book and start reading through. Chokmah is right in front of us if we would just open our eyes to see it. Even more than that, we've been invited to come and eat at the table where wisdom is offered freely to anyone who will come and sit. Listen to this. Wisdom has built her house. She has set it up. She had set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants and calls from the highest point in the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. Oh, I'm not simple, but that's the call. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, let all who are simple come and eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the ways of insight. This is so important. The wisdom of God is not a secret. It isn't hoarded away or reserved for the super religious or the intellectually astute. I'm going to say that one more time. Wisdom is not hidden. It's not reserved for the super religious. It's not reserved for the intellectually astute. Wisdom is offered to anyone who is willing to sit and eat. And it's right there for us. If we fear God, we will see God's wisdom all around. But we know being in tune with God's wisdom isn't easy. The writer of Proverbs knows it's not easy. And in fact, talks about the competing voice that wisdom has. Wisdom's dinner party is not the only one in town. There's another who calls out from the highest point in the city. And the writer of Proverbs frames this as another woman who aims her call at the simple, the ones who have no sense. And the setting is very similar, but what she offers is counterfeit wisdom. She offers what appears to be sustenance, but in reality it is death. This woman calls out, listen to her words, let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Super intense. Two dinners, one brings life, the other is deep in the realm of the dead. So how do we know which table we're sitting at? It's so enticing, the other one. Oh, come. Oh, this food is so good. No one else has it. You have it. It's a secret. It's special. You're special. You're amazing. You're unique. We share this wisdom together. It's not for anyone else. Well, in the same way that the fear of the Lord is counterintuitive to our concept of following God, knowing which dinner we are sitting at might be counterintuitive as well. And the Apostle Paul goes out of his way to make this very point in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18, where he says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And Paul writes this to a church struggling to understand and live out a new way of relating to God through the risen Messiah, Jesus Christ. You'll remember in Paul's writing that he too talks of a table and of a meal, which we heard about this morning. Like the writer of Proverbs, Paul is trying to reorient people's mind and hearts to see power in Jesus on the cross because it is the very power of God The wisdom of God, the chokmah of God, is on display in Jesus' death. That doesn't seem like wisdom at all, does it? And it's still something we struggle in reconciling with today. How can weakness be made strong? How is it that death can be defeated when everything I see around me is saturated in it? But Jesus stands on the corner and he cries from the highest point in the city, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, at the table that wisdom sets in Proverbs, it's all hers to give to us. It's the gift. At the other table, it's stolen water. It's secret food. It's something that stays right here in me. Proverbs foreshadows the call of Jesus saying his yoke is easy and his burden and light. The chokmah of God takes a familiar shape of what is to come. The writer pleads, and think about these words that Jesus spoke, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And listen to what the writer of Proverbs says. "Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Though it costs all you have." That sound familiar? Lay down your life and follow me. Get understanding. "Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head," and here's the kicker, "and present you with a glorious crown." Boy, the crown of life that Christ offers through the cross seems like foolishness, doesn't it? When everything in our world and our life is a battle, is a fight for me, Jesus hangs on the cross, convicting us of our selfishness and humbling us, hopefully, in fear. And so this morning, as you leave this place, I want you to go in fear at the awesome wonder of the Creator who has given you a gift that you cannot earn, you cannot study to, you cannot pay for, but is just offered open-handed for you to take. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed by his very Spirit. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, the blessing of this family of God. Father, we pray that we can continue to come together as we go battling in this life, as we resist the temptation to sit at the table which seems just reserved especially for us. Help us to embrace the idea that your chokmah, your wisdom, your very presence is open to anyone who will take. Your servants are spread throughout the city, begging anyone who was willing to come in fear and in reverence to sit and eat at the table of life. May we sit at that table. And may we bring others to join us as we feast in the banquet of your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand for a benediction. Benediction in Proverbs. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. May you be blessed this week. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. We are located at 48 East 80th Street in New York City. To hear previous podcasts, visit our website at www.manhattanchurch.org.